The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m.
on Kaya 959.
Yes, and right now I am joined by Robert Truns, all the way from Switzerland. Welcome always to The World Show, Robert. It's always great to have you here.
Well, greetings to a freezing Johannesburg.
Can you believe it? And you...
We are in Switzerland and the weather is not much better, so it's fine, you know, don't worry.
Yes. Well, I thought it was warm in Switzerland at the moment.
Should be, shouldn't it?
Yes. Wow, we lost a great musician, a dear friend, somebody you worked with so closely for so long, Robert. You know, it must have been a bit of a shock, the news of Mabie's passing.
Definitely a big shock, you know, especially we've been together since 1994. Which is as long as we have a democratic South Africa. So, yeah, it was a shock. But then on the other hand, it's not up to... I don't feel like sad, you know. I don't know, because I don't want to celebrate or commiserate the passing, because I think we should celebrate his life.
Exactly.
He's not the one that's crying, you know. We always had, you know, he always had fun and he always gone out, and he's an amazing person who was very spiritual and then was very, the other side, incredibly outspoken and you know, he'd gone through a lot of different phases in his life, from heavy drinker to heavy smoker to be completely reformed to everything. So,
yes.
So no, I mean, we should not cry about Mabie passing. We should be crying about the fact that his music is not well enough known.
I absolutely agree. And you know,
we do not have. There's nothing out there. Nobody plays this thing. I mean, it's been out for so long, so much. And then on the other hand, the guy has been involved in so many different projects. He's been touring the world, and not only with Malombo in the old days, you know. Like, I see a lot of these comments that said, yeah, we know Mabie from the days of Sakile and Malombo. But nobody talks about his work that he's done since 94. And this is amazing stuff we did.
Yes.
And, you know, and then it's gone into all different directions, into electronic, into traditional, into his work with Madala, but then I also worked with people like Juno Reactor and played the biggest festival with 200,000 people and all that. So, yeah, let's celebrate Mabie and not be so.
I agree. It is a tribute to him and a celebration of him. And I think one of the reasons why we go back to Malombo and Sakile is because it really shows the context of where he came from and, as you say, how far he went. I mean, it was about a good decade or so that he was touring with Juno Reactor. I remember him telling me he was filling out stadiums. They were filling out stadiums in China and, you know, really taking the world by storm, working in collaboration with a techno producer. An effect.
Yeah, I mean, they did the big Mount Fuji festival in Japan, which is one of the biggest in the Far East, and that was like they were like on the main stage. So
yes,
yeah,
and
there's this little guy that's, you know, just hangs out with all the great people.
And in fact, I remember, you know, talking about, I wanted to bring up the story. It's just one of my favorite stories. When Mabie was telling me that, you know, early on in his career, it was really difficult to make a living as an artist. And even like we talk about him touring with Juno Reactor, strangely enough, he was making more money touring the world than he got recognition or compensation for ever in South Africa. But I remember talking to him and him telling me that at some point in his life, he was going through hard times and he got a job at the Willard Chips Factory. And I was like, you know, sympathetic. Oh, my gosh, this great musical hero was forced to work at the Willard's Chip Factory. And he said, no, it was actually a blessing. He says, because one day he was at Downtown Studios and he was walking past this one studio and he heard the sound that was familiar from having worked at the Willard Chip Factory, the way that the machinery would have a rhythm, you know,
yeah.
whatever it was. And so he went into the studio because this music reminded him of that. And that was how he met, I think it was from Juno Reactor. And that was how he started playing percussions with electronic music, because it came naturally to him after years of hearing these mechanical machines going. And I love that story. Mabi always making it positive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
He's been picking up everything that was around him, you know, the noises, the rhythms, the everything that was there. It was always there. No, you know, the stuff that he did, for example, on Matrix with Juno Reactor.
It was Juno Reactor. Yeah. That's right.
Juno Reactor with him in the Matrix trilogy. And there's like one track, for example, called Conga Fury, which has been used in South Africa. It's the only one I heard been used in South Africa. And Conga Fury went on to being used on films like Mortal Kombat number 2 currently. It was on the Animatrix series of the Matrix trilogy and all over the place. And so, yeah, if you go to the Facebook side of Mabi's,
yes,
I've been putting up all those things where you were working on all the different tracks he's been working on with Juno Reactor. But I will also, in the next days, try to make another gigantic list of other projects he's been on, like on Matala, which tracks he's been on there, Sipu Gumede.
Yes.
It's all there.
And in fact,
Mabi was also one of those people who kept dying, you know. I mean, I saw him dying in 1995.
Yes.
And because in 1995, I called up Madala from England and said, hey, Buffalo, where is Mabi? So Mabi was disappeared. We couldn't find him, so we put out the search. And it was like a week later, Buffalo tells me, hey, I found him. He's in King Edward VII's hospital. And then we went to check with the doctor there. And the doctor said, well, he was clinically dead because they had to open him up. Now, then he was bragging for the rest of his life. Every time he was talking to the girls, he would open up his shirt and would show them the scar, you know. It's just like so there's Mabi always making something funny out of something tragic.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things that struck us, those of us who knew him personally, not just a genius musician, but just this incredibly infectious character, this warm, funny, crazy, wonderful human being, you know. And I think that is what we'll miss, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, Robert, I want to ask you a few more questions, but first, let's play a track. And you suggested this one, which is the Obombo remix. Tell us about this track and the story behind the remix.
The very first recordings which were made for my label was done by Sipu Gumede, and he did a project which came out in an album called Freedom Countdown. And it had three different artists, and it had every artist had three tracks on it. And on that one album, there was a track by Madala called Ubombo, in which I, for the first time, heard Mabi performing, and I thought it was amazing. Perhaps at some stage in one of your next shows, please play the original Ubombo, because then you can really hear the Mabi drums on there properly. But I'm asking you to play the remix, because that's the remix that actually brought something new in South Africa. It was used by what's the YFM DJ called? Rude Boy Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, Rude Boy Paul. He picked that track up when he came out.
Yes.
And he played it in all the clubs. And then later when YFM came up, he was played there all the time. And I think it's a beautiful remix. And it was done by a couple of guys in Bristol, Smith and Mighty. And I think we should just have a quick listen to it.
Absolutely. Another one of those tracks.
It was the start of other things that happened afterwards, the remixes, electronic, going into dance music. I mean, Mabi is dance music in the end, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's trance music. It's dance music. That's what it is. And as you say, I think it also, this song, this kind of direction really opened artists like Mabi to a whole new generation, you know. And that was also what was exciting, is really expanding the reach, if we can say.
Black Coffee. coffee to them, like motion did stuff for them. So, yeah.
Yes.
I wish there's going to be a few more.
Absolutely. Speaking to Robert Truns about our friend, beautiful musician who left us last week, Mapi Gabriel Tobejani. Coming up now on The World Show, the Obombo remix. It's a Madala Kunene song remixed by Smith and Mighty, but of course, featuring the incredible Mapi. Kaya 959. You see how versatile he was. Wow. Madala Kunene's Obombo, this time remixed by Smith and Mighty off the album Electric Melt Remixes. Featuring, of course, Mapi Tobejani. And you know, speaking to Robert Truns, and I was thinking about Mapi, and you know, many years ago, I had this series of events that I used to do called Groove Culture, and Mapi used to come and play with me. And I remember once playing, I can't remember which song it was. I must go back and look at the name. But I remember playing a song, doing a remix of it live, and Mapi was playing over the remix I was doing live. And it was just so beautiful, you know. He always, you know, opened his heart to working with young and old, to working with so many different people. I think that was one of his blessings. And you found that too, Robert.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, you see, like, I think I had a lot of more private stories with him all the time.
Yes.
Because we kind of lived together, all of us, in England, because there was a studio we had, and it's like, I can't, they call it a residential studio, but it's out on a farm out in the sticks. And there were sometimes, there were like 10, 12, 14, 15 musicians there. And Mapi was almost, I think it was like his second home there.
Yes.
And there's Mapi, now they have my friend Richard who's sitting next to me here.
Yes. And hi, Richard.
Sometimes I hate his guts because he calls me grandpa. Okay? But then, okay, I'm not grandpa yet. My son is not, you know. But Mapi was the one that was actually the grandpa all the time. And he was looking after all these kids.
Yes.
And we had Ben Watkins had a daughter who came around the same time as my son, Nico. And the one thing which actually kind of disturbed me is that my son said the name B for Mapi, B, before he said Mama or Papa.
Oh, really?
So,
he was much, the grandfather, yes.
that much for, I mean, he was amazing with kids. So yes. Unbelievable. And then maybe I would like actually Richard to say something quickly. Would you mind?
Sure.
Richard, you were involved with the Madiba album.
Sure.
What Absolutely. Was your role? Tell us a bit about working with Mapi on that album.
Or also on Barungwa. He also did Barungwa.
And Barungwa, which we're going to play now, yes.
Not
yeah, Barungwa was where I started, but I was based in London, in England. So then I used to go to the farm and I would work with all of the Melt family.
Yes.
On whatever was around, you know, whichever album, whichever recording, mixing, a little bit of mastering. The thing about Mapi is that as part of the group that would come from South Africa of musicians, by having this farm, everybody would bring their own culture to the farm.
Yes.
And that was just incredible. It wasn't simply music. Because as you know, in Africa, music is kind of the front end of the culture.
Yes.
You know? So everything that's behind the food, the stories of real life, that's terrifically important to learn as well.
Yes.
I was blown away, you know, 30 years ago, Mapi taught me about the ancestors.
Yes.
And that whole story, I would have never, ever have understood without Mapi's teaching.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's talk about Barungwa. Robert, the idea, where did it start? Who were the artists involved? It still remains an iconic album.
Well, 1994, I came down to South Africa. Well, I came down in 93, and that's the when the whole bloody story starts, quite frankly. And I was down with Fairto and Jose Neto. We did some concerts there. And we went to a club in Durban. And there was this guy, Herbert, who put on a show that night for Fairto, and Sipo was there, and Madala was there. I never got to meet Madala that night, but Sipo. So the guy pulled us into his office, and he looked at my Fairto and said, "Hey, Fairto, nobody comes to South Africa without a mission. You must come back."
Yes.
And Fairto goes back and said, "Oh, shit, me, why? Why me?" "Yeah, because you are the most famous one, and they all want to play with you, because these people haven't been able to get out of South Africa. So you must come back and you must play with them." So then everybody looked at me, and so you must organize it. I said, "Okay, thank you very much. That's all I need." So we came back a year later, and then that's when I brought Byron Wollen.
That's right.
But in terms of what we're talking about, the Barumba project, there was Andrew Missingham. So Andrew Missingham met Moses, met Shalusa Max, met Dave Mayakana in Cape Town afterwards. And after a couple of months going back to England, he came down to the farm and said, "Hey, Robert, I want to do a project. I want to do an acid jazz project." Because those guys, Byron and Andrew, they were in the acid jazz kind of scene, which Richard knew quite well, because there was like Jessica Lauren and all these people were in that scene. So that's how this whole thing started. So I said, "Yeah, go ahead." Said, "Who do you want in this project?" He said, "Chris Bowden," which is a sax player from London. But, and then he wanted Moses, and he wanted Dave, and he wanted Max. And that's how it started. So he said, "Okay, can I go to South Africa and start recording?" So they said, "Okay, done with it." So he did. And then they recorded this album and did some stuff, and then sent the tapes back, and it sounded like some of it sounded really shit. And then one day Richard came to my home, and I've been to actually get introduced as a recording engineer. And I was really pissed off because the sound was terrible. And I looked at Richard and said to him, "Oh, you're the one who fucked up the whole thing, aren't you?" Richard looks at me and says, "Me? No, nothing to do with it." So that's my introduction to Richard. So you see, we're still friends.
So
that is my cosmic grandpa.
Yes. So the Barungwa project, yes.
We launched Barungwa in 1995 in Covent Garden in the UK, in London. And it was a night when everybody who was on the International Meltdown project in 94 came to London. And so Moses was there, all these people, Mabi was there, Madala was there, and then for the very first time, also Buzim Shango.
Yes.
She did one song, and Madala did two songs, and it was an incredibly magic night. And then Barungwa went on tour in the UK, they went on tour in South Africa. Yeah, that's the song.
So, and if I'm not mistaken, my memory, yes.
Yeah, sorry.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Barungwa was released on the B&W label even before Mel 2000.
Well, everything was released on B&W Music, because at that point I was still in the B&W loudspeaker business. I still was running that one. But then when I sold the B&W speaker business, it's because my partner didn't like me spending so much money on music. So I decided to get out of it and sell my share in it. And then I started to make music and invest the money into music, which is, for me, was a big mistake. But I think it was a beautiful thing, because like it has been the most beautiful time in my life. So that is the story about the B&W Music. So the International Meltdown, and a lot of those albums or some vinyls and some of the CDs, if you're lucky, you will find...
If you are lucky, yes.
you will still find some CDs with the B&W Music on it.
Yes.
But it is very difficult now to find any music, because everything is now on
digitized.
I think it's digital, and some of it is not even available anymore because, like, some of the Sipho Gumede stuff has been taken down now and hasn't been put up again. And I hope it's going to go up soon, because I did return the rights to practically every single musician.
Yes.
So that they can get on with it themselves and start controlling their
art. Position. Yes.
Art, yeah. Put it back into.
Let's hear this track from Barungwa. Sorry. Let's hear this track from Barungwa. And then I've got one more question for Robert and one last song to finish off this Mabi Tobejani tribute feature celebration. Of his life.
Hold.
I'm holding.
There is a little story to that one. I chosen that track because
Tutu.
Tutu, yeah, who is by Marcus Miller, made famous by our big hero, Miles Davis.
Yes.
But the thing is, Mabi always, because both myself and Mabi, we were like huge fans of Miles Davis and still are. Or I'm still. And Mabi kept telling me the story about that time in San Francisco when they shared, together with Philip Tabani, when they shared the stage with Miles Davis.
Yes.
So,
and Miles, he always loved Miles. You're absolutely right. So this one is, again, a tribute for Mabi Tobejani and the amazing artists that worked with him on the album. Some of them have left us as well. It is, of course, Barungwa's version of Tutu. Kaya 959. Tutu off the Barungwa album, an incredible and timeless release. In fact, I must revisit that album much more in the near future, that is for sure. Thanks for reminding me about Barungwa's album, The Messengers, Robert. Beautiful. And again, thanks for the work you have done for so many South African musicians. Really appreciate that. You know, what was interesting was when we spoke about Mabi's passing on Friday, you had mentioned that you were actually working on something with Mabi's work recently, or, you know, you were in the middle of working with a collection of Mabi's work. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing recently with that, Robert.
Well, I landed up back in Switzerland because I had some health problems. So it was an opportunity for me to go through all my hard drives. You got tons of hard drives, you know, to collate everything. So that's what I've been doing, is like cataloging and all this stuff. So all the way through, I came across Mabi, and because he's been in so many different projects, that to do this work is absolutely essential, because one day I also will be gone. And so somebody must be able to do cross-referencing and all that stuff.
Yes.
So that's what I've been doing. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah. So you're actually putting together the Mabi collection, the vast collection that features Mabi. Yeah,
and the even more vast collection of Mel 2000 and BMW.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes. Wow. It must be a trip down memory lane for you. Yes, absolutely. So we're going to end this feature with two tracks back to back. And the first one being Tabo of the Madiba album.
Which is one of my favorites, because it sort of starts up with the whole thing. And what's also nice in that track, Busi
yes.
Chongo, because she did this nice little chatty thing with Mabi. It's sort of kind of like he's talking to her and she sort of said, oh, okay, come on, hold on, calm down, man, you know.
So, yes.
And then it goes into Conga Fury, which is a track that mentioned before, which has been on several films, but also started in 1995 on the second Outer National Meltdown recordings in South Africa when we started doing Mabi's album Madiba.
Yes.
And we got all these big drums, but it was Ben, I took Ben with me, because Ben was Ben Watkins, a junior actor. He was the one who did a project with a group called Skeleton.
Yes, I love Skeleton, yes. Actually, the last time you were on the World Show, we played Skeleton. Yes.
Okay, because she's also on there. So so he did Skeleton in a separate studio, and he kept coming out to the other studios. And so he got introduced to Mabi, and they started, you know, they started blah, 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 with the perfect host, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
All the time. So one day he wanted Mabi to actually come in and do some drumming. And out of that thing became that track, Conga Fury.
Yes. As you say, it was used as part of the Matrix trilogy as well. Amazing.
Mortal Kombat 2. It's been on and games and stuff like that, yeah.
Yes, amazing. The futuristic side of Mabi. Robert, to finish off, if there was anything you could say to Mabi right now, what would you say to him?
Well, enjoy your six-pack.
Keep drumming. Thank you so much for joining us, Robert, as we tribute a legend that we hold in our hearts forever. Yes, rest in peace, rise in power. Mabi Tobejane.
The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m.
on Kaya 959.